message for you, and I know we're missing a few people today because they went south for a wedding, you know, but that's okay. We're glad you're here. For the next month or so, I'm going to be preaching in the Old Testament. You know, we did all this New Testament since the first of the year and through the Easter, but now we need to do a little bit of Old Testament stuff. But before that, I want to pray, and I had this, I don't want to forget. If you can catch Jonathan's video on camp, he went down to the youth retreat, and he did a little video with that. I think, is it connected with our Facebook page?
No, but I can put it there.
Why don't you put it there? Because he did a great job at camp. He did led the music, but he did a little video with it, and it's a really neat little video. I really love that video. Anyway, so sometime this next week, check it out, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. I want to share, Tina had texted me about the results of her son and his surgery. And anyway, she says, "Hi, Pastor Brian, this is Tina. Please thank everyone for their prayers for my son, Jarrett. We brought him home this afternoon. He is doing well. They fused his neck, did a bone graft, and put a titanium plate to replace the ruptured disc, and stabilized his neck, and to get the pressure off of his spinal cord. He is expected to have a full recovery in about a year. But is doing well, just needs to be patient. God has been with him through this entire ordeal and has been very evident. We are grateful and humbled by his presence." And she wanted me to share that with you. I thought, boy, that is positive. That is just like exciting. See how God is so big in what he's doing with people. That is just amazing. And that. So let's go ahead and have a prayer, and then we'll go ahead and into our sermon. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the worship time, for your presence, for how big you are. The miracles you do every day is just amazing. And we thank you for Jarrett and answering those prayers for him and Tina's son there, that he's going to have this full recovery, and help him to be patient in the meantime. And how you used the doctors and you guided their hands, and just the horrible ordeal is just amazing. But another miracle. Miracles every day, God. We thank you so much for that. We pray for travel mercies, those coming back from Kansas City after the wedding and yesterday. We thank you for other requests that have been made and throughout Sunday school and different things needs to be met there. We pray that you'll answer those prayers as well. Thank you for this sermon time. Help us to get into your word, to see how great and big you are. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I start into this short little series on Old Testament, entitled this one, God's Greatest Dream. And have you ever thought about what would be God's greatest dream? You know, that's just amazing. Well, it's really about relationships, because God's greatest dream is about people and us. You know, I knew two brothers that didn't get along well because when their father passed away, the inheritance didn't go right for them. And they both had to serve. They both had a friend that died, and they both were invited to be pallbearers. One went to the Methodist Church, one went to the Baptist Church. And they got to the funeral, and one was at one end of the casket, and the other is at the other end of the casket, and they struggled through it. You know, you think life is too short for that, isn't it? It's about relationships. And after the service, you know, Bob says, "I'll never do that again." You know, I thought, oh, you need to get it worked out with your brother, because it's not just about him and his brother, it's about him and his brother and God, the three of them. You know, God's greatest dream is about relationships. I read another story about, and that's a true story there. That was when I was at Winchester First Baptist. But I read a story about two sisters. And for some reason, they didn't click. They didn't get along. And they both had their own beds in the same bedroom. And they drew a line down the floor. But they worked it out where they could each leave, no problems, you know, out the doorway. But they wouldn't speak to each other. And they lived together for years. And they could lay there at night and hear the other one sleeping, whatever, you know. And how sad. You know, and it wasn't just about them. It was about them and God, you know, the three of them. Because there's always three in your relationship. It's just not you and the other person. It's God's got to be part of it too. And how can you do that? But you know what? People are human. And it happens. And we let people get in the way of the relationship. So God's greatest dream is about relationship. My core idea, and maybe I need to read the scripture first here in 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created this beautiful, beautiful place. Wasn't yesterday a gorgeous day? Today's another gorgeous day. You know, it's a gorgeous place we live. And we're going to talk about several verses about this. But He created this beautiful place to live, for us all to live. But my core idea is, it was God's plan to bring us into a life-giving relationship with Him and with each other. That was God's plan. That was His plan from the very beginning. And so He has this plan that to live with Him and with each other. And that's the most important, that's God's greatest dream, is for us to get along with each other, to love one another, and to just, what would you do without each other? What would you do without family, your own family, but also the family of God? What would you do with, you know, I call my brother every other week, I call my sister every other week. What would you do without your wife, your husband, your best friends? But God is ultimately your best friend. You know, and it's all about relationship. And that's God's greatest dream, is the relationships. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die, was that we might have right relationship with Him. And it's all about relationship and those things. So God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And if we read verses 1-3, you know, we find that, yeah, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God. And God said, let there be light. That's what we call sky. And there was light. Wow. You know, God is a very powerful God. Just to think that He could speak things into existence. You know, we think, you know, we see things happen and we think, oh, how powerful. You know, you watch bombs go off, you watch jets fly by, and you think, wow, look at the power. But that is nothing compared to God speaking forth and creating this earth and this world, the heavens and the earth. He's so powerful that way. But the heart of God is about community. When we talk about community, you know, we're talking about people, obviously. In verse 1, we find God is doing all the creating, you know. And we'll get to this in verse 17 here in a second. But I want to add here some things. In verse 1, we find that God's doing all this creating. In 7 days, the seventh day He rested, obviously, but in those 7 days He created the heavens and the earth, the sky, which is light, then land and sea on the third day, and then lights in the sky to set time in order. Like, you know, the eclipse this last week, you think about time. Anyway, you think about the moon, the sun, the solar system, and the revolving and gravity and all that thing, God set those in the expanse of the larger sky. That's what happened on the fourth day. Then he did living creatures like birds. And then he did, that was on the fifth day, and the sixth day he did land creatures, livestock and mankind. And of course, Adam, which got the name, he became the greatest name maker ever. Just think, he got the name all those animals. Pretty creative guy. He must did it with God's hand to think about the name every creature, every snake, every bug, many different kinds of bees, every flower, you know. Anyway, and then on the seventh day, God rested. All this is about community. Community is so much bigger than just you and me. It's about you and me and God and the church. But it's also about this world that he created. He created all this wonderful world for us to live in. And when you get up in the morning and you look out and you see that blue sky, that's just so nice. Thank you, Lord. You know, and have you mowed your yard yet? No? Some of you like doing that, some of you don't. Okay, I love mowing the grass. I know that sounds crazy, but I do. There's something about green grass that I like mowing about. And I think, wow, God made this grass for me. Other people are saying, oh, he didn't make it for me. But it's all about community. And in the New Testament, in John 17:21, which is this verse here, says, from the beginning, in the New Testament connection is, that all men may be one. All them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, that they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, that's for believers, basically, in that sense. There's a New Testament connection. But the whole idea is that God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. He did it that we might enjoy it. Now, how many of you like to go on vacations? How many of you like to see the ocean? Oh, don't you love the ocean? When we go see the ocean, my wife, I can't keep her out. She wants to go snorkeling, you know? I love to go to the mountains. The mountains are just, they declare God's wonder and beauty. So does the ocean, too. It's just amazing that God created all of this for us to enjoy. It's beautiful. That's all part of the heartbeat of God's community. It's a wonderful thing. God wants his community to have a wonderful place to live, us to live. He didn't give us a crummy place to live. It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place. G.K. Chesterton wrote this thought: God has boundless delight in what he creates. See, God is so much bigger than us that we can't imagine. And I just keep thinking about, he just had to speak it. And it was done. You know? I think about Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis and how Adam named all these creatures, but yet he didn't see one suitable for himself. And God says, I'll put you to sleep and I'll take from your rib and make woman. Wow. God had a plan. He made community. He made relationships for each one of us, and special for us humans in that sense. You know why it's so special for us? Is because he created us in his image. Wow. And you say, well, we don't all look alike. No, it's not about how we look. It's about our character and the nature of God, who he's made us to be. That's the image of God, is what's inside of us and having God's character. God took delight in his creation. He says over and over throughout each time he created, he said, it is good. It is good. He delighted in creating. He delighted in creating you and me. Wow. Such a delight. Isn't it a good feeling to know, wow, God's happy he made me? You are special. Each one of you are special. He was delighted to make you. And it's just think, God spoke things, and they became into existence. It just didn't happen. You know, it wasn't just a Big Bang Theory. Sometimes I like to watch that show just because, but it's hilarious to me because it's not just a Big Bang. It's God speaking things into existence. You know, it takes more faith to believe that than it does. I can believe God created the Bible. You know, that He created you and me. It takes more faith just to think that, poof. No. It's amazing. He values you tremendously because He created you. Each one of you have significant value to God. And it's so important we understand that relationship. That's why He desires the deep relationship with you. Because He values you because He created you. You ever make anything in your life? You know, as a little kid, we'd paint these pictures or do stuff with clay. Or as an adult, we still like to make things. Maybe it's you work with wood. Maybe you do things with metal. Maybe you do other things. And when you're done, you're like, oh, that's, you know. That's the way God feels too. I mean, He is the ultimate artist. And He has molded you and He's still making you the way He wants you to be. But He has created you and He values you, each one of us, so much. You know, that's why it's important that we stay in right relationship with Him, because we hurt Him when we sin, see, you know. But He loves it when we repent and stay in good relationship with Him. Relationship is community. It's everything. The climax of creation is men and women in a life-giving community with God and each other. You know, that's the climax of creation, that where men and women are in a life-giving community with God and each other. There's a lot in that statement. You know, you look at the image of God, Genesis 1:27. We are told that we were created in the image of God. And I've talked about that some. The image of God is about who we are inside. God is about holiness and righteousness. And we know that we're made righteous through the blood of Jesus. We know that we are righteous because of who God has made us to be through His Son, Jesus. When He looks down at us, He doesn't see the dirt. He's cauterized us. He's cleansed us all. So when He sees us, He sees us perfectly. It's important that you understand that. Because if you realize that you're His son, one of His children, or daughter, and that you've been made whole and perfect. And I tell you, I'm not perfect by any means, but it's nice to know that when God looks at me, He thinks that way because of His Son dying for me. Then when you understand that value, He valued us so much that He gave His Son, Jesus. You are so valuable to Him. You're His creation. Then life changes. Because what the world does, the world tells us all the opposite things. What does the world tell you? The world tell you that you're second, that you're worthless. That's what the world tells you. The world beats you down. But God doesn't do that, does He? God lifts you up. That's what He does. He lifts you up because you are His. And He bought you with a price. It's amazing in that sense. We are God's creation and we are valuable because He made you. We or you are significant. That's another good word. Significant. You are significant to Him. You know, you think about how He uses you to get things done. We prayed this morning. He was using our prayers to help other people. You know, we gave God the glory in the end. We should, because he's the one that does it all. But he still uses us as his instruments, as his children, to get his will done. You are significant because you're made in his image, the image of God. Think about relationships. Here's one of a man named Thomas Carlyle. He married his secretary. That happens, doesn't it? Whom he dearly loved, but he was sometimes thoughtless and absorbed in his own interests. Now, none of us are that way, are we? And activities. Treating his wife as if she were still an employee. Boy, I'd say he'd be in trouble, wouldn't he? She was stricken with cancer, and when she was confined to a bed for a long time, before she died, after his funeral, Clyde went back to his empty house. He was grieving so bad, and he wandered up and down the stairs thinking about the woman he had loved. After a while, he went upstairs to her room and sat down in the chair beside the bed on which she had been lying for months. He realized with the painful regret that he had not sat there very often during her long illness. He noticed her diary. While she was alive, he would never have read it. But now that she was gone, he felt free to pick it up and thumb through the pages. One entry caught his eye. Yesterday, this is what's in the diary, yesterday he spent an hour with me, and it was like being in heaven. I love him so much. He turned a few more pages and read, I listened all day to hear his steps in the hallway, and now it's late. I guess he won't come and see me. Clyde read a few more entries and then threw the book on the floor and rushed out through the rain back to the cemetery. He fell on his wife's grave in the mud, sobbing, if only I had known, if only I had known. You know, it's a sad story, but you know what? Relationship is so important. We need to think about our relationship with each other and with God, because there's always that third strand. There's a place in Scripture that talks about the third strand, and there always should be in a marriage that third strand. Relationship is everything. We need to love one another. We need to love God first. Community is about relationship with God and each other, with our families and with our church and with our broader community too. It's really, really important. The pure relationship, how beautiful it is, how easy it is damaged or weighed down with irrelevance. Not in every situation though, just as life itself. For the first part of every relationship is pure, whether it is a friend or a lover, a husband or a child. It is pure and simple and uncumbered. And then how swiftly, how inevitably, the perfect unity is invaded. Relationships change. It becomes complicated, encumbered by its contact with the world. See, the world always wants to mess things up. The original relationship was very beautiful. Its self-enclosed perfection wears freshness of the spring morning. It moves over another phase to growth, which one should not dread, but welcome as the welcome summer, as spring. But there is also the dead weight, accumulation, coats of false values, habits, burdens of the life, a smoothing coat that needs constantly to be stripped off. In life, as well as in relationships. Comes from the book Come Before Winter, Chuck Swindoll. So true, we let things get in the way, don't we, of relationships. But if you think about the Bible, and we started in Genesis here, and if you go through Genesis, all through the Old Testament, what's it really about? It's not just history, it's about people and their relationships with God and other people. You know, we can talk about all kinds of people, and we will. One that stands out in my mind is about Moses and how Moses, you know, he started out, his mother put him in this basket. She was loving, kind, and then found a way for him to live and survive because all the babies under two were going to be killed. And then he grows up in an Egyptian's home, but he's a Hebrew. You know, and his relationship with God changes through his whole life. And he gets angry, and he actually murders somebody, and then he leaves, but he finds God. He knows God, and then he comes back. God says, hey, I wanted to use you. You are one of mine, and I'm going to use you to free my people. You think about all the relationships there between Pharaoh's daughter, his mother, about Pharaoh, about all the Egyptians, ultimately about God. And life was really bad for him and for the Egyptians and for all the Israelites, really. And you think about relationships. He went up to get the Ten Commandments, came back, and then what did he do? He had to go back up because people forgot about God. They created an idol. And he had to get a second set because he got angry. All about relationships. Everybody in the Bible, it's all about story, true stories about people and relationships with God and other people. We are no different. We're part of the story continuing on. We really are. At the end of the book, in the book of Revelation, it talks about what? The book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? That's the most important question you can ever ask, isn't it? What is God's greatest dream? Have a relationship with you. And that your name be written in the book of life. That's what we need to be focused on, as relationships. That's the heart of God right there, is relationships. And Him having a relationship with you. And He values you. You are significant because He created you. So as we sing today, and I think about when I come to a conclusion here, you know, I think about in the challenge to take time in creation to celebrate the Creator, that He and all that He's made. This week, I challenge you to take time to sit and see what God's created, to pray and thank Him for His creation, but to thank Him for the people He's put in your life. Do that. And that He is your Lord. Won't you stand with me? And as we sing this morning, purify my heart. That's what God does for us. He purifies our heart. He touched me with your cleansing fire. Take me to the cross.